Good morning and welcome to Unitarian Church in Stephen's Green. Welcome to everybody, but especially if you're here for the first time or a visitor, you're very welcome. Welcome to those watching on the webcam and those that may watch the webcam later. My name is Robin Ward, and there's a custom here in the church that every now and then we have what's called a free pulpit, in that a member of the congregation takes the service, and today it's my turn. So I hope you won't be sorry you came. I must say at this stage that it is always stated that anything I say is my opinion. Nobody has to believe or agree with anything. It's just my opinion. If I go wrong in anything, just leave it. Come into this place of peace and let its silence heal your spirits. Come into this place of memory and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power and let its vision change your heart. And all Unitarian services starts off with the lighting of a chalice. May the light we now kindle inspire us to use our powers to heal and not to harm, to help and not to hinder, to bless and not to curse, to serve you, Spirit of Freedom. Now we have our first hymn, which is hymn number 21, The Beauty of the Earth. And our first reading today is read by Maeve.
Good morning, everybody. People often mention from this pulpit how they came to find this church, and having found it, why they return to it week after week. I always think these revelations to be very interesting, and in case I never get another chance to tell my story, here it is. Doubt was a word that was never heard in the Catholic tradition in which I was raised. There was no room for questioning any of the dogmas and beliefs that are the cornerstone of that religion. The only time the word doubt was heard was in the context of faith. You were told you must have faith to believe, which I always thought was, excuse my slang, a bit of a cop-out. I had long since given up on that religion in my early 20s, but there were a lot of things I missed. The beauty and peace to be found in churches, the ritual of the services, the smell of incense, the murmuring incantations, the singing. But I didn't miss them enough to do anything about it. Then, one Saturday morning in 2007, my family and I were at home when one of my son's friends rang him out of the blue. "I found a dead cool church in Stephen's Green," he said. "I think you like what they have to say." And so, the following morning, all of us, my two sons, the two girlfriends, and I, all arrived in here at 11 o'clock. We filled a whole pew up here near the front. We saw that a minister, Bridget Spain, was scheduled for service that day. When, at the preamble to her address, she said, "You don't have to agree with anything I have to say here." I sat up straight in my seat. These were the simplest of words, but with the profoundest of resonances. It was like the sun had just come out. Here was a minister of a church, a woman at that, telling us, the congregation, that we didn't have to agree with anything she said. I was hooked. Shari was looking for people to join the choir that day, and join I did. And when I returned the following week, it was to the joyous realization that not only was there a minister, Bridget Spain, here, but there was another, a Bill Darlison, to ease my path into Unitarianism. That was a long preamble to my reading, and thankfully, it is short. I will let Shakespeare say what I have to say. Mostly his quote is about love, which is what I feel for this community. "Doubt thou the stars are fire, doubt that the sun doth move, doubt truth to be a liar, but never doubt I love."
Thank you, Maeve. The children's story is every time they're saying it's for adults, but today I think I'm entering my only innovation of the day will be that I have decided why shouldn't the children's story not be done by the children? So first of all, if any of your children would like to come up and sit at the front here, I have two Congo volunteers who are going to do the children's story. So Evie and Bob, if you come this way, please.
Tracy Venables thinks she's great, swinging on her garden gate. She's the girl I love to hate. Show off Tracy Venables. She's so mean, she makes me sick. Eating ice cream, lick, lick, lick. I know where I'd like to kick. Stink pot Tracy Venables. Now she's shouting across the street. What she want, the dirty cheat? Would I like some? Oh, how sweet. Of my friend Tracy Venables.
There you are, please. So I'm told there's more than one moral for this story. So would someone like to tell me one moral? Evie, maybe you first.
One moral of the story is that you should never judge a person.
That's right. And Bob?
Don't be very jealous, I suppose.
That's the same one. Anybody here now? Would any of you guys get a moral out of this story? No. No. Well, I thought there was one too. You shouldn't judge people. And one of the congregation here told me when they heard it's been practiced this morning, maybe you shouldn't call names either. And we had to change some of the words of that poem for that reason. So, okay, you guys are fired. So my first mistake is coming up now as we speak. I can't find my reading. But I was originally going to recite a poem relevant enough to what I want to say later on. And then my wife told me that it was a spring poem, but nevertheless, it was the first poem I ever learnt off by heart, and now I'm going to try and say it instead. It's The Daffodils. So I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretched in never-ending line along the margin of the bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not but be gay in such a jocund company. I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth this show to me had brought. For oft when on my couch I lie in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils. Did any of you learn that off by heart, or were you made? You didn't learn it the way I did, who was beaten into us. So, and I made a third mistake. Now we're now going to have the second hymn, and I can see Josh leering at me down there. The second hymn is hymn number 17. Okay, thank you. We now have a short reflection. I just give a short reflection that will be followed by a little bit of silence, a little bit of meditation, and that will end with some music from Josh. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. I'm sure most of you here, and I hope most of you here, have heard of Shane Lowry. And if you don't, he is a golfer. And as an amateur, he won the Irish Open. And among other things, as a professional, he won the Open, which is the British Open, which I think is probably the best major of them all. But most of all, he's probably remembered for something this year. He got that putt that retained the Ryder Cup for Europe. A character-building putt, and he got it. And people think he was cool, and he was cool, and he was great, and he was great. But I wonder to myself, was he nervous? Did he have any doubts? But when he did that dancing celebration on the green afterwards, it was very obvious to me that he certainly did have doubts, but he overcame them. And Maeve spoke earlier about doubts. Thank you for that, Maeve. And Josh said, there are places I remember, and that's what I'm going to ask you now, to indulge with me a little bit as I go back to the environment and the upbringing that I had. And to forgive me a little bit if in some of the stories I tell you, I'm not exactly the hero, but I'm in the stories. I was raised in a town in the west of Ireland. It was a cathedral town. And that meant that the bishop was the parish priest. So the acting parish priest was the administrator. And he had a few curates. And they ruled the town, the church, the parish. They ruled absolutely everything. The president of the golf club was a priest, one of the priests. The chairman of the GAA was one of the priests. The boss or the CEO of the drama society was a priest. They ran absolutely everything. We had no Protestant church there. We had one Protestant, but he was married to a Catholic, and some of his children also Catholics were my friends, so we thought he'd probably be saved all right. The rest of us, we were glad there was no Protestant church, because if we went to a Protestant church, even inside the environments where there was nothing on, we were on the road to hell. And that's the kind of bringing up. And my first memory is when I went to the brothers at the age of 7. And the brother was using this big thing you have for ruling the blackboard. And he turned around, "I see some left-handed people here," he said. "We know what we do to left-handed people." I was one of the left-handed people. "It's the devil's hand," he said. Now, within 2 weeks, I could proficiently write with my right hand. And of course, that was out of fear. But you might be surprised to know that the fear of the brother and his big ruler was only 10%. The real fear for me was I did not want to have the devil's hand. There was no doubt about it. If that man of the cloth said that writing with your left hand is the devil's hand, then he was right. We never doubted anything. In May and October, we had what was known as evening devotions, rosary and benediction. And those of us in the town, if we didn't attend, we were physically punished the next day in school. But we did attend because we had no doubt that's where we should be. That is what we should do. We also had rosary, sometimes a decade of the rosary during class. And I particularly remember one incident where he was talking about the coronation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in heaven. And he gave a magnificent script to choirs. They were dressed in their Sunday best, even though we're all probably angels and spirits. Lovely hymning, singing and everything. And at the end, Jesus, who was God, reached over and crowned Mary Queen of Heaven. And we were enraptured. And one of the guys, Pather, he put up his hand and the brother said, "Yes, Pather." And Pater asked a question that maybe we might have wanted to ask in any other way. He said, "Were you there, brother?" And the brother came down with a red face and literally leathered into him. Now, Pater was wearing Wellingtons. And as the brother went back to his seat, Pater took off a Wellington and threw it at him and got him between the shoulder blades. This is absolutely true. The brother came down to give him another leathering. But one Wellington or not, Pater legged it. There was a great association also between the GAA and that church in those days. And I cannot really explain that it wasn't that the church taught religion or anything like that, but there was a great association. A week or two ago before that, the composition, which you now know today as essays, I came second in a class of a competition, a holiday I'd like to take, and I was so proud. I wasn't Mr. Academia. And I said, the next one we get, I am going to win it. And the next one was my favorite sport. And I went home to my parents and said, I want to win this. And my father said to me, they'll all be writing about Gaelic football, hurling, or maybe even handball. Pick something different. And both my parents played hockey, so I did one on hockey. Now, these are only sentences, compositions rather than essays. But I did my thing on hockey, and I was hoping for the best. And as they announced the winner, the various people, so-and-so, so Mark, so-and-so, so Mark, my name wasn't mentioned. I knew I had won. Oh, this was absolutely wonderful. And when he said, Robin Ward, stand up, I stood up with pride. Well, someone said, pride comes before a fall, and the fall was on the way. The Quislings who sold us out in 1916, one of them is here. I hadn't the guts to tell them that I really was young and I wasn't around in 1916. But I latterly knew what he meant. I didn't know till then that the GAA, they didn't ban foreign games. They banned hockey, cricket, rugby and soccer, the games of British imperialism. Hockey, get out of here and never come back. Now, I didn't go home with great fear because, after all, my parents was the ones that suggested this. But I arrived home late morning. My mother said to me, what are you doing home? I've been expelled. Well, at that age, you always embellish things. I've been expelled. For what? For writing an essay about hockey. Well, she went into the office and told my father. I think I heard him laughing. I don't know what else happened after that, but I do know now. He rang the bishop. And he knew the bishop well, and the bishop said, I'd collect him at lunchtime and bring him back. So the bishop came at lunchtime and drove him back. Now, I was an altar boy, so I knew the bishop. I didn't stand in great awe. But we chatted about incidental things. He never mentioned hockey, mentioned the weather, everything. We went back to the school. Very short journey. Knocked quickly on the classroom door. The door opened. And that bishop! Everybody stood up. And the brother came over, went down on one knee and kissed the ring in the bishop's finger. That's what the way they greeted the bishop. I won't disturb you, said the bishop. I'm just bringing Robin Ward back from his lunch. It wasn't mentioned again. But of course, the lads asked me after school. It was an all-boys school. But the brother never mentioned it again. And I'm afraid you're all itching to know, did I win the essay competition? No, I did not. We had fasting during Lent, and I know of women who are pregnant, and they'd ask the priests, could they go off fasting? No. People who wanted to save hay on the Sabbath day, because we're a country town, and it was a fine day, no, they were always refused. So, passing on, I'm now 18, and I'm working in a town in Offaly, and I've already told you, Bridget, this is not Eden Derry. And the Redemptorists come to town. Now, in those days, the Redemptorists were hell, fire, and no redemption. And I often wondered how they called themselves the Redemptorists, because it was the most misnamed order. But among the various things you had to do, or wanted to do, and it was go to confession. So I went to confession, and I don't know if the sins were that serious or not, but the priest then going in on company keeping. I hadn't said anything about company keeping. He said, do you have a girlfriend or anything like that? So I told him I was actually writing twice a week to a girl in the north of Ireland. And he said, do you intend to marry her? Excuse me, Father, I'm 18 years of age. I'm paid monthly and I'm broke for 2 weeks of that month. But do you intend to marry this girl because you're company keeping? This was in the north of Ireland. And I wasn't a man of courage, but I did say, no. He said, if you don't promise me and God that you will stop writing to this girl, I will not give you absolution. So I still said no, and he said, go, and I went out. I could nearly feel the heat of hell as I left the confession box. But the light was on in the curate's box across the way, and he was a nice priest, so I went across, and the first question you'd be asked in confession, if any of you don't know, is how long since your last confession? I just said 2 minutes. Because I was pretty scared. And he asked me what happened. And he chatted to me about it and called me Robin. I thought this was a dark, secret, anonymous place, but he called me Robin. And I was a little bit taken aback, and he said, "She sounds like a nice girl." He said, "Don't you worry about it," and he gave me the absolution. So I left, saved. There was no doubt, Maud said, we were not allowed, though. We were not allowed to question anything. And the Jesuit said, "Give me the boy," I'm sure they also meant the girl, "give me the boy till I'm 7 and he'll give you the man." And that's true. Obviously, as I became more and more of an adult, I began to question the odd thing, but they did give me the boy till I was 7, not the Jesuits, but the church, and they brainwashed me until I was forever. One priest did say to me one time, "There's more faith in doubt than there is in certainty." And St. Francis of Assisi said that if there is doubt, let me sow faith. And faith, I realized then, was not blind belief, but trust and acceptance and love and all of those things put together. And so I was feeling okay. Until one day I heard, and I've got not her permission, but I told her, I mentioned I've heard Bridget on the radio, and I decided to come in here, just like Maeve, to see what she had to say. And it was lovely. She told us the various religions, Taoism, Hinduism, Buddhism, the mysteries of the Sufis, and the Islamics, and the Judaism, and other religions, and other people, other members of the congregation here, my own colleagues, also told us about these things. Talking, it was lovely. And I remember one person said to me, "You know, we should not only just talk about religions, we should listen with them and embrace them." And they all were fantastic things, and they did, in a way, know that I had found my spiritual home here, just like Maeve, just like lots of us. Besides the ministers, one of the sermons I liked best, and I have her permission to mention it, and maybe even steal from it, was Jennifer's and Joni Mitchell. I'm hoping that Joni Mitchell will forgive me when I paraphrase one of her songs. "We've looked at life from both sides now, from give and take, and yet somehow, if life's illusions I recall, we really don't know life at all." Amen. The next hymn, Andy, you might be pleased to know this, because I know you're one of the many people here who think it's a favourite hymn, is 159. It has words in it that could put it in one or two lines could better than what I wanted to say today. So, 159, "This is my song." I was once at a meeting, I brought my boss there, and afterwards they thanked everybody, and everybody that was thanked got a little bit of applause. And on the way home, she said to me, "The parish priest did not own the hall because they thanked everybody but the parish priest. So I'm not going to thank everybody here today. There's so many people helped welcoming and all that, and so many people before and afterwards. I just would like to thank Ayla because she was very helpful to me when I came, and to Evie and Bob for doing the children's story for me." And now I'm going to ask Gavin to do the announcements.
And it is my privilege to thank Robin for a wonderful service. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Now, if you are interested, if anyone here is interested in leading a service as Robin did today, please let me know. I'm recruiting now for next year, so you have plenty of time to prepare if anyone is interested in leading a service. Please join us downstairs for tea and coffee after the service. Pam leads our weekly service of reflection in the church every Wednesday from 1:05 p.m. to 1:35 p.m. And you can also access these sessions on our webcam. The book club is reading The Dance Tree by Kieran Millwood Hargrave this month. And they will gather at the last Wednesday of the month in the vestry. Please talk to Alison for details. The Seeking Paradise Reading Group continues this Thursday, the 9th of October, at 7 p.m. here in the church. Your homework is Chapter 3 this week. We're going to hold a membership service on the 16th of November. And anyone who has been attending regularly for about a year and you would like to sign the membership book of the church, I have application forms here, so please take an application form with you. The church choir is always delighted to welcome new members and returned members. We have a returned member this morning. The Christmas carol service is really just around the corner, so if you are interested in joining the choir, please speak to Josh or Shari after the service. If you wish to receive a weekly email with news about events happening in this community, please give your contact details to Josh. We are also on Instagram and Facebook. Have a look there. There is a managing committee meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30. And finally, Madeline has an announcement.
Those of you who've been here before will guess what this is going to be about. Yet another play. I'm an amateur drama out in Bray, a group called Square One. They're doing The Snapper. It's already booking up really fast. It's on from the 4th to the 9th of November. I'm sorry, I don't have a poster. One will arrive maybe next week. It's in the Mermaid Theatre from the 4th to the 9th. The 9th evening is already sold out. There's some tickets for the matinee, which may suit people who have a little further to travel. I have about 44 words in it. If you blink, you'll miss me, but I am in it. But I have been at a lot of the rehearsals, and it is going to be very, very funny and very good. So put it in your diaries.
Thank you very much. If I ever do this again, I'm not going to let you out this early. And our final hymn is hymn number 29, Joyful, Joyful. If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may come true. If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. Go in peace.